This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. In about half an hour, we're going to be speaking with political commentator Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid on whether we may see the Sabah state government change hands. But in the meantime, there has been some news about the loan moratorium. I mean, there has been a lot of discussion over whether or not the six-month moratorium should be extended or not. In a special afternoon address, the Prime Minister, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, said that the moratorium, which was due to expire at the end of September, will be extended by another 3 months for those who have lost their jobs this year and have yet to find employment.
Additionally, he also announced the targeted repayment options would be provided by those who are facing pay cuts.
For those, right. They're not going to be providing the...
Yes. Thank you for the correction, Lynn. But the quantum of the loan repayments will also be reduced by the rate of their salary deduction, right? So basically, it's a proportional look at the situation. And we've actually got a poll running on Twitter right now. Are you happy with the targeted loan moratorium and flexible repayment options announced by the Prime Minister yesterday? Right now, 43% say yes, 34% say no, 23% don't know how they feel about this topic.
Yeah, so that's the not the only policy announcement that made headlines yesterday in Parliament. The Deputy Minister of Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs, Dato' Rosol Wahid, informed that the targeted petrol subsidy scheme would be scrapped. Quite interesting there. And also the Deputy Human Resource Minister, Awang Solahuddin, announced that foreign workers will only be allowed to work in certain sectors, and that would be construction, plantation and agriculture.
So joining us this morning to discuss the implications of these policies is Carmelo Ferlito, Senior Fellow at the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs. Now, Carmelo, thank you for joining us. We spoke to you about a month ago on this very question of whether the moratorium should be extended. You came out in favour of extension given the severity of the economic impact. So do you think that this targeted loan moratorium extension and repayment auctions strikes the right balance of flexibility for borrowers and banks based on the conditions that have been highlighted?
Hi, good morning. Yes, indeed, I have to say that I'm quite happy about the solution that was announced yesterday by the Prime Minister, and I advocated for something similar, so an extension, but not a generalized extension, but trying to target in the most affected people. And I think that somehow the measure goes in the right direction.
With this this targeted moratorium, Carmelo, are there any challenges in the implementation that you foresee coming out of this? Because one thing, a blanket moratorium is just applicable to everyone. This one now requires some form of application process.
Yes, of course. Every time you introduce some application process, you need to see how it will be implemented. And in this case, we need to be careful on how indeed the people that have lost the job are identified or pay cut are actually checked. You know, so this might be time consuming or might eventually lead to some form of black market job. So you formally not employed, but indeed you are working in a different way. But yet I think that is worth to take the risk and going ahead with this measure.
The conditions for the moratorium extension is quite specific for individuals, like the conditions are actually laid out. As for SMEs, should there be specific conditions as well as a condition for an extension?
Yes. I believe that, of course, it would be too vexing for the banks to have generalized measures. So we should find something that indeed target the most affected SMEs, and at the same time that listen to the need for the banks to preserve their financial stability.
So the government also announced that it is scrapping the targeted petrol subsidy scheme. Why do you think this policy couldn't take off?
Well, my take is that you know, the government did quite a big effort to face the consequences, the economic consequences of the MCO. So the government exposed itself with financial commitment. Then, if it did in the right direction or not, this is another issue. But for sure, the government effort was big, and probably they are trying to act where it is possible to act in order to reduce or to help also the government finances.
Is the targeted petrol subsidy scheme worth pursuing, though, in the grand scheme of things?
I think that looking at the long run, probably we should abandon this kind of policy and be more confident in the petrol offering the market at market prices. Also, if we think that probably the future of mobility is not really cars but more public transportation, which for sure were affected by the pandemic. Because we of course is all under our eyes, people feel less confident in using the public transportation because it's considered more dangerous rather than taking your own car. So paradoxically, we might have seen a higher usage of private cars over public transportation. So if we want to rebalance this mobility issue, probably we should abandon also the subsidy scheme for petrol.
I'm worried, though, in the short term, what's the economic impact of scrapping this scheme? I mean, much higher petrol prices, inflation?
I don't see this as a huge risk, in the sense that petrol prices are still very much affordable in Malaysia. And surely we have quite a well-developed structure of public transportation. So if by scrapping this, we keep on probably investing in support for the public transport usage, the pockets of the poorer people will not be affected that much.
And Carmelo, the government also did say that it was going to be limiting the hiring of foreign workers to three sectors only, so namely construction, plantations and agriculture. Do you think this is a good move at the end of the day?
I think that is a good starting point in the sense that at least three sectors are allowed to hire, again, foreign workers, but I think we should do more. And often we discuss reliance on foreign labor in Malaysia as something negative. But if we look at the reason why Malaysia is relying on foreign labor is because the economic development was as such that Malaysians didn't need to do certain kind of jobs, namely the 3D jobs. And so we needed foreign workers to do that. Now, with rising unemployment, of course, there is the hope that by freezing the hiring of foreign workers, we could help local employment. But things are not that automatic as they may look. So if you are an accountant or anyhow a white collar in an office before deciding to become a waiter in a bar or going harvesting coconut, I think you will think twice and you need to be really, really desperate in terms of your job search to do so. So I think that the hope to reduce unemployment by freezing the hiring of foreign labor is too optimistic, and we should look at a different strategy if we don't want to harm competitiveness of Malaysia, because if by forcing businesses to hire local workers, you bring up the production cost. In the end, you will harm competitiveness of Malaysian businesses, and more businesses will close down. And a measure that was designed in order to improve employment conditions will turn out to increase further unemployment. So again, we have to be very careful on the unintended consequences.
Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Carmelo. That was Carmelo Frelito, Senior Fellow at the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, better known as IDEAS. Overall, I think quite positive on the policies that have been announced by the government, with the caveat of the limitation on the hiring of foreign workers, which he, I think, described as a little bit too optimistic, perhaps, in the hope that it's going to spur local employment.
Yeah, I think I think the context he used there was the fact that if you were a white collar worker, and then if you're going to look at food service later
harvesting coconuts,
it's a degree of desperation there, and it's not a long term strategy.
So we're going to be heading into the 7:30 news bulletin right now, but don't go away. Up next, we're going to be speaking with Sam Fazeli, healthcare analyst with Bloomberg Intelligence, on what's new in the race for a COVID-19 vaccine. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.